Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Welcome to Maxim number 7, be overdue. Yeah, that sounds weird to say. It looks cool written out though, right? Well, what I'm saying is that being is more important than what you're doing. And Maxim 6, 7, and 8 are all linked up in kind of talking about the same idea. You might think about them like a kaleidoscope. I was introduced to this idea in a book I was reading the other day. So the idea of content in the form of a kaleidoscope is that each section, so each Maxim will look at our relationship that we have to ourselves from a different color, like from a different angle, essentially, from a different lens. And so yesterday, we really talked about this idea that the world doesn't expect something out of you that you're not. And I think if we all understood that, well, for one, fake it till you make it wouldn't be a saying that people continue to say. And of course, that's because there's always nuance and there are always times to maybe swim with the big fish before you are one. But if you can do so, after first being rooted in who you are as a human being and the things that make you what you are and who you are, you're then set up to have a whole bunch of advantages over replicas, right? Over people that are just looking out into the world and copying what everybody else is doing. And there's a great deal of pressure to do that. And so that's why yesterday was talking about just really starting to ask yourself some questions about who you are. What is it about you? How do you see the world that's different from other people? And do you accept that about yourself, right? And so root yourself in Maxim number 6, root yourself in the understanding that you don't need permission in any way to go toward the things that you're inherently drawn to love the things that you inherently love, and to look at the world in a way that you look at the world. And the reason that I want to stress being over doing is because if we can ground ourselves in that understanding, then we realize that all of this, everything we're doing here, it really does come down to how we are being. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little bit about habits and sort of success principles, but how those would fit into the methodology that I am describing here. And in Western culture, this is difficult because doing is the altar that we all serve at, right? I've talked about that quite a bit on Morning Coffee before. Like, we all really tend to serve growth over everything else. And if something's not growing, if we're not growing, then we get in this position where we start to get nervous and we're like, okay, well, we have to do something so that we're growing. You see it in the economy, right? It's like you have a couple down quarters. Everyone's like, oh, interest rates go down. We've got to stimulate people to buy. We've got to stimulate growth. And it's like, well, you know, maybe, but if we apply those principles to our lives, we can end up in a place that's actually pretty far from contentment, pretty far from what we want. And these are all also ideas that I've really broken down in Ambitious Heroes and Heartache in my new book. And so if you want to read more on those, it will be out in December. And also the old audiobook is out now on audible.com. So the reason this is so difficult for us to get our minds around is because in Western culture, we do serve our achievements. We do serve what we can become, and the way that we define what we can become is what we do, right? And I noticed this in my own life. Like, people really started paying attention to me when I was young, when I would get my name in the newspaper for playing like Little League or something like that. And so then as soon as I saw that, that became the thing that I worshiped. I remember going to the post office and like eighth grade or something for my mom, and someone recognized me from like the middle school football game from a touchdown. And I just remember that feeling, and it like, it struck me as, oh, this is the thing. This is what I'm going after in this life. And of course, everybody loves the idea of validation. But what I would like to submit to you is that there are really valid reasons for not putting your identity in what you do. Now, the first one is the obvious one, right? Which is what you do is, first of all, it's just a label. So it doesn't have the ability to define all of who you are, right? Under no circumstances does any one word define all of one person. And so part of it is we kind of cheapen our own experience and our own manifestation here on the earth if we are trying to shove ourselves inside the box of a label. You know, Danielle shared with me, that's one of the reasons that she really disliked the Western medicine model, and she really wanted to move out of the PT space and working in that space, because people are always looking for the diagnosis. And then once they get the diagnosis, then they become that. And so then that becomes their story. It's like, well, I can't do that because I have this. Well, I can't do that because I have this. And it's like, you know, it becomes sometimes a badge of honor, sometimes it becomes an excuse, sometimes it becomes all of these different things. And at the end of the day, as I said before, like, it's just not the whole story about who you are. And it can't be, right? Because your story is not a single word. And so part of it is it limits us in our ability to actually even conceive of what's possible for ourselves in the future. I've seen this with depression a lot in my family. I've seen people hold on to the diagnosis of what depression is. And they say, well, you know, I'd love to go travel, but I have to get my depression under control. I'd love to go do that, but I have to get my anxiety under control. And it's like, yes, but at the same time, when are we just creating the problem that persists? Like, perhaps anxiety and depression are meant to be seasons in our lives. And maybe they're seasons that we actually need. Now, I hate to say that because it could be taken the wrong way, but I've gone through some really depressive episodes, and I look back now and I certainly didn't have to make it as hard on myself as it was, but I did certainly learn a lot about my life. I learned a lot about what I didn't care about. I learned a lot about what I didn't want to put my identity in. I learned a lot about how to be in a relationship, you know? And so we learn all of these things from the seasons in our lives. And so if we attach that label to ourselves and then we allow that to become us as we move on, it becomes limiting at some point. And then something else happens too. So point number three on why we really shouldn't put so much of our identity in our achievements is because the pressure then mounts on that thing you're doing. So, you know, I know that everybody doesn't use their gifts to make money in the world. But I think everybody probably does to some level, unless you're doing a job that you just completely hate and it really doesn't resonate on any level. You probably have some gifts that you can put into that job. And one of the things that happens is if you take the pressure off of it and you're just doing the thing, whatever it is for you, I could use creation as an example for me. When I take the pressure off of myself to make these episodes and to write books and to create content, what happens is it takes the block away. There's a perfect flow between sort of my heart and the manifestation of my work. But as soon as there starts to be pressure on, like, oh, people are expecting this, now I feel a little bit of a tendency to shift in the way that I'm starting to create. And then I think, oh, but also people need this tomorrow. Now the pressure to create just got a lot tighter because now I can't think of everything I'm wanting to think, and maybe I need space. And you can see how there's really a domino effect of pressure happening when we allow ourselves to live in accordance with these labels or with these boxes. Now, the reason I say being overdoing, being is more important than doing, is because if you learn how to be what you want to be in the world, then whatever you do will be better for having the best version of you in it, right? Your family will be, unless they want the worst for you, which, you know, some people do, certainly that happens in relationships. People do kind of want to hold people down because if one partner starts growing and the other one doesn't want to, or the other one's not comfortable with it, they will backhandedly sabotage the relationship. And so you've got to, you know, check in yourself, make sure you're not doing that to someone else. And you've also got to address that if it comes up in your relationship, because, you know, anytime that you're in a relationship where people are stifling the other person, you're not going to be in a good place. Like, it's going to you're going to start seeing the world from different places. And that's when that'll be the beginning of the end, essentially. Right. And then we put ourselves in a position that's not serving us. So you always want to make sure that you are actually free to grow, that other people support that growth. Right. And then when you are doing things for you that your partner doesn't understand, like whether it's going to yoga or journaling in the morning or, signing up for a painting class at night or deciding to pick up an electric guitar and start learning songs from your childhood or whatever it is that makes your soul come alive, reading 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, right? Like whatever it is for you, it doesn't matter. The point is that you are in a position now to apply the best version of you to whatever it is that you decide to do with your life. But you've got to put yourself in a position to be liberated from the labels, to allow your heart to actually open to the world and see what presents itself, you know? And in that experience, that's when you start, oh, what's that? What's behind that door? Let me open up the electric guitar door. You know, I could say, here's a really good example of how that's manifested in my life is like, got an electric guitar when I was in eighth grade, like locked myself in my room, learned a bunch of Godsmack songs and a bunch of 80s hair metal songs, and then kind of just used it as a creative outlet writing songs. And then I played in a band for a while in Virginia Beach. I played in a band in college. And so I got all of these cool experiences. And now I'm actually taking my work from my latest book and I'm creating an album out of it, and I'm adding music to it and like getting really creative. Now, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. No one knows where doors lead. I don't know how it will be received by everybody. But that's not really my job, right? My job is to focus on being the best version of me and just seeing what comes out of that and having a little bit of faith that what comes out of my life, if I am ensuring that I show up for myself and I show up for my partner and I show up for my work and I show up for my school, then I just have to trust at some point that the work will take care of itself, that the thing that I'm doing will turn out in a good way. And I would also say that we don't really have a choice. I mean, we act like we do, right? We act like we can live by these labels and that we can micromanage our creative expressions and that we can micromanage our kids and the people under us that at work or whoever's in our department. We act like we have all of this control, but it's all illusion. We really don't have that kind of control, right? And anxiety, if you're struggling with anxiety as a label, it's because somewhere deep in your soul, you recognize that you don't have control, that all of that is an illusion. And that recognition, it's like the shadow of our consciousness is anxiety. And so the recognition of that creates this feeling of anxiety, but you've repressed it because you've decided control. And so in your conscious mind, you really can't see it. But somewhere in the depth of who you are is bubbling up this idea that, yeah, you're nobody's in control here. We don't know what the hell is going on. And so what does that tell you? Well, what it tells me is that actually what we need to do is improve our relationship with the unknown, with the fact that we have no idea what the hell is going to happen in our lives, but have faith in the fact that if you show up as the best version of you, that that's going to work out. And I don't know, maybe in Western culture, this is a model that, or a message that isn't going to be super popular. But one of the things that I found in my life when I was going through a massive transition and I was trying to get my mind around the work I wanted to do in the world next and what my next sort of evolution would be, I went out in the woods and I engaged in this program for veterans. And there was one exercise specifically that I added to the Clarity Academy, and I'll do it with clients and stuff because it had such a profound effect on my life. And things started to present themselves that I didn't really understand. Like sometimes we think we have to focus on the problem, but sometimes we actually have to focus on something else, and then that specific problem unwinds itself or solves itself just as a byproduct of the new thing that we're focusing on. Does that make sense? And so, you know, you could think about it in terms of your problem might be that you want to make more money, but maybe if you are doing the thing that made you the most alive in the world, that you'd put the best version of you into it. And then perhaps the byproduct of that down the road would be that you would make far more money than you can make now, focusing on your problem of not having money. And so what you want to do is you want to sit down in the mornings and you want to think about who you want to be in this world. And then you want to practice becoming that person, because it's not going to happen on accident, right? It's not your default setting that you want to be, for sure, because, you know, we're small-minded. We think in survival. We have all of these different idiosyncrasies about ourselves that we have to work through and unwind, and past programming that we've got to work through. But if you sit down and consciously figure out who you want to be in the world, your ideal self, And then when you go out into the world, you don't have to worry about everything that's going to happen. You don't have to worry about controlling every single situation. You worry about showing up as the best version of yourself. And so you create this version of an ideal self in your mind through meditation, through visualization. Visualization works because oftentimes when we visualize things, the physiology in our body reacts to that thing as if it were happening in the world. I promise you that this thing I'm going to give you today, we didn't do a meditation yesterday or a contemplation or a journaling prompt, but today we're going to do the ideal self. And I'm actually going to, on rickalexander.com, I'm going to link up an actual just like guided meditation. So you can do this silently. You can just do it for 5 minutes on your own, do some breath work to center yourself, and then start to visualize who you want to be in the world, not what you want to do. Who do you want to be? What are the attributes? What are the characteristics that you are hoping to manifest in the world? And then as the master's level of that, let's say, is once you start to get that picture of yourself, then you can start to think, okay, who do I want to be when I'm business meetings, for example. And you kind of like close your eyes and watch it all happen. And so you have a couple kind of options. You can do it on your own silently and just kind of go through it. And I'd have a journal handy. So as you're thinking of attributes and characteristics and qualities that you want, you can jot them down. And then as you do this more and more, you have something to center yourself on and to start on. Or you can go to rickalexander.com, check under today's maxim, and then I'll actually give you a guided meditation on there if you'd rather follow that. And it's a little bit longer, it's got some music and stuff, but it's a good way to get you started. And then you can do it on your own. But the point is that if you don't set a name for who you want to be in the world, then you get left to the whims of the world. And I'll be honest, the world doesn't have great plans for you. In fact, doesn't have any. You're just going to end up the whims of other people. And so we've got to create an aim that allows us to move forward. And then when chaos happens, then when we find the unexpected, then when anxiety pops up, we work on improving our relationship to those things from the best version of who we want to be. Then we're setting ourselves up for success. And also, I will say, if you don't have any picture of who you want to be, this is not what you want to do. I'm not talking about accolades, achievements, bucket lists, none of that. If you don't have a picture of who you want to be, tomorrow's podcast, when we talk about habits, won't make as much sense. And so I would just say, if you're following along with the maxims, make sure you do that. But enjoy this one. I'm telling you, this was an absolute game changer in my own life. I actually became the person that I visualized, and I'd love to see you become that same version of yourself. All right, I love you guys. Have a good one. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.